Listen and stream the only talk radio, Freedom 106.5, for the only talk that matter.
We get into another one of those very interesting discussions. At this point in time, we're speaking about International Nurses Day. International Nurses Day, it's today, it is. And the theme for this year is Our Nurses, Our Future. And speaking of our nurses, we have with us in studio to tell us a bit about what's going on, some of the challenges facing our nurses and some of the positives. We have the first vice president of the Trinidad and Tobago National Nursing Association, Avion Drayton Bailey. Good morning to you.
Hi, good morning.
And welcome to our program. We do have joining us via Zoom this morning a gentleman, I believe we've spoken to him on the program before, and he's the president of the association. That is Stuart. Good morning to you.
Good morning to you and your listeners.
Nice to have both of you with us here in studio. Our time is limited, so let's get straight into it. International Nurses Day. Sounds really nice. What is it all about? What's the intention behind International Nurses Day?
All right, so good morning. Thank you for having me in studio with you.
Mm-hmm.
International Nurses Day is the commemoration of Florence Nightingale's birthday. Florence is considered the mother of modern-day nursing, and her birthday was the 12th of May.
Mm-hmm.
In 1965, it was the first time the International Council of Nurses started commemorating Nurses Day.
Yeah.
The reason for that, it was to raise awareness of the important role that nurses play in society. So that's why we are here today. We are celebrating registered nurses, enrolled nursing assistants, all nursing personnel. Today is our day. Merry Christmas, everyone.
Mr. Stuart, let's get your comments. International Nurses Day. What does it mean to the nursing community? Not necessarily internationally, but here at home.
Well, definitely, we would like to take the opportunity for the public to understand the important role nursing and midwifery personnel play within the healthcare system. As we have always been saying, healthcare workforce is comprised 50% of nursing and midwifery personnel. So if you really and truly believe that you want to improve the quality of healthcare to citizens, you must first start at the foundation, which is at nursing personnel. And there are a number of focus areas.
Mm-hmm.
The International Council of Nurses and WHO has asked governments to focus on to ramp up the quality of nursing throughout the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they have focused specifically on four policy areas: education, jobs, leadership, and the type of service. And it's no different in Trinidad and Tobago, where we need to there's a blueprint set for the improvement of nursing and midwifery service to our population, already set by International Council of Nurses. And it's identified in a 10 charter for change. And we really are lobbying the government on all of these areas. And slowly but incrementally, we are reaping the rewards. And we really would want to highlight some of those achievements today. Today's a day of celebration, a day of recognizing the hard work nurses and midwives have done over the years, least of which was exemplified during the pandemic, where we really came to the forefront. Yeah. And if we have time, I could actually go through.
Well, I was about to ask that these four policy areas, how are we doing? I don't want to ask you to rank us. But how are we faring? Are we doing well in these areas? Is there a lot of room for improvement? Have we excelled in some of them? What's going on?
Well, actually, there was a survey done worldwide, and it came out in the a report by ICN and WHO, and it showed where we are doing well in certain areas and where we are falling short in other areas. So, for instance, we are definitely falling short in continuing education of nursing and midwifery personnel throughout the world. It's a standard for healthcare professionals, doctors, nurses, all other healthcare professionals, that you must continue education on an ongoing basis. You cannot be practicing the ideas that you were taught when you were in school 20 years ago. the technology, health advancement has improved. Unfortunately, it is not a requirement in Trinidad and Tobago for even doctors to continue education, not nurses, not dentists. And that is something we have been pushing. We are not there yet, but we are seeing more and more nursing schools offering opportunities for nurses to continue education. Another basic tenet is that nurses should be taught at the bachelor's level. Statistics worldwide have shown nurses who deliver care at the bachelor's level are able to influence positively on the quality of care of their patients. Unfortunately, Trinidad, while part of a CARICOM agreement to bring all nurses to the bachelor's level, they would have signed on to that document almost 2 decades ago. We are not there yet. We still have multiple different areas. And then we could go on and on in terms of the support for the nurse, trying to alleviate some of the stressors, some of the hygiene factors that cause job dissatisfaction, some of the burnout factors. We are nowhere close to treating with that. The overcrowding of wards, the reduction of nursing personnel to take care of those persons. Even something simple as housing has not been addressed for nursing personnel, as it has been addressed with some of the other public sector workers.
Well, you've given us so much to consider in that very condensed contribution there. What I found interesting is this agreement that we take our nurses education-wise up to the bachelor's level. You know, you're saying that it's 2 decades plus that we've been, where we signed on to this and we haven't gotten it done. I'll proffer a suggestion. You tell me whether I'm on the right path or not. Is the delay in getting to that level of having our nurses qualified to bachelor level, that delay, is it intentional? Because if you have nurses who are qualified to bachelor level, you have paid them bachelor level pay.
Yes, it is a wonderful deduction, and we saw it as deliberate over the years. But I must tell you, we do have considered 4 nursing schools. 3 of them have reached the bachelor's level. 1, which is actually run by the Ministry of Education themselves, the government themselves, continue to operate a nursing school, which offers a certificate. However, thankfully, the Minister of Education, due to repeated lobbying by the TTRNA, only this week shut down that program, only this week, in the week of nurses. And we want to thank the Minister of Education for doing that, because we saw it directly to prevent the upward calling for compensation at the bachelor's level, as all other professions. All teachers are taught at the bachelor's level, and they appear at the appropriate level. And it's no different. Nursing personnel were the only group of healthcare workers in Trinidad and Tobago, actually, who were not trained at the bachelor's level across the board. Every doctor, every dentist, every vet, every social worker, every psychologist, every single other category of professional we work alongside is at the bachelor's level as a minimum entry requirement into their field, other than nursing. And that is why nursing salaries are so suppressed, and that is why nurses have been leaving en masse to greener pastures.
Well, you preempted my next question, which is exactly that. I mean, if you have nurses who are more qualified and looking for better opportunities, obviously they'll be looking for better pay, which is available to them outside. I know people who went through the nursing system here, and they were trained to the level that they could have been trained. And it's a husband and wife, and they're now in England, both of them.
Definitely.
And the life and the opportunities that they were afforded on going to England probably 15 years ago, it's tremendous where they are now, because that same training thing that you're talking about and that continuous education they were afforded and they took advantage of, and now their careers are vastly advanced to where they might have been if they had stayed here in Trinidad and Tobago. And we know that all nurses operate under some very trying circumstances, and COVID-19 accentuated very much some of the challenges that we have in our healthcare sectors. And when we get back, we need to take a couple of messages, but when we get back, we'll be delving into some of these challenges and how our nursing personnel dealt with them, and the the positives that came out of those lessons and some of the negatives as well. We are discussing on this edition, this segment of our program, International Nurses Day. We'll be right back. Probably take some of your calls as well. Stay with us.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.
Welcome back. Continuing our discussion, International Nurses Day today, with us First Vice President, Trinidad and Tobago National Nursing Association, Avion Drayton Bailey. And of course, President of the TTRNA, Edie Stewart. Now, just before we went to the break, I'd ask the question, you know, COVID-19 brought us some challenges. Our nurses were confronted with a situation that many of us have not lived through before.
Exactly.
And it was new and it was challenging in ways we couldn't begin to understand. Nurses were at the forefront of that. And they were caught as surprised as everybody else and had to learn as they go along and deal with all these challenges.
Mm, exactly.
What are some of the positives that came out of that experience for COVID-19?
Well, I would think some of the positives are that nurses have become much more resilient. As you said, no one was expecting a pandemic. It's something that you just read about in the textbooks. But actually coming face-to-face and realizing that the entire country depended on us, on our knowledge for barrier nursing, our knowledge to take care of persons without getting sick ourselves. You know, the statistics would show that very few nurses contracted COVID or had COVID deaths, let's say, in comparison to other professionals mm-hmm. that you were seeing on Facebook all the time with how many deaths and rest in peace and so forth. Because nurses know how to treat patients in these sort of circumstances. And we were able to rise up and we were able to conquer. And even though we may have had a lot of deaths, through no fault of ours, we really want to say to the public that it could have been much more.
Mm-hmm.
But based on that knowledge and skill set and that dedication of the registered nurses and the nursing personnel in Trinidad and Tobago, we were able to come through this pandemic and we are all here to see each other today.
In every profession, you would have bad apples.
Always.
And that's across the board. Mm-hmm. In every single profession. It's mm-hmm. unfortunate that sometimes the bad apples garner most attention.
Most of the
and
time.
And many people brand a profession based on the bad experiences that mm-hmm. some people go through. I had the opportunity to deal with the public health sector recently, and it was surprisingly much better than I thought it would have been.
So, you see, so that's not surprisingly, because that's the norm.
Mm-hmm.
you understand? But remember, persons who come to the healthcare institutions are sick, they are seeking help, their families are in crisis. You remember, this is your mother, your father, who was good this morning and now not speaking because they got a stroke. You know, there's a lot of tensions involved. And nurses are the caring profession. And sometimes, caring sometimes comes with a stern voice because some people are just based on moving on emotion. So they tell themselves, but the nurse not caring.
She didn't rough you up.
She told you what needed to be done.
Mm-hmm.
And but because of the situation, you know, sometimes you take it out of context. I am not saying that some nurses are not blameless.
Right.
But I'm just saying that sometimes because of the situation that it is over exemplified and persons reacted in a way they may not have mm-hmm. on a normal day.
You know, when you're dealing with different personalities
mm-hmm.
and with a nursing population as large as ours,
mm-hmm.
you can't get away from some of those things.
Mm-hmm.
I know people who are nurses, who are involved with nurses, whose significant others are nurses, and mm-hmm. and COVID-19 was as traumatic for them
as
it
else.
Was for the actual patients and mm-hmm. the victims of COVID-19.
Of course. Can you imagine a nurse who's seeing deaths every day?
Well, the average, that's a sad thing. The average individual who is evaluating a nurse or a medical professional does not treat with those elements of the job.
Mm-hmm.
And those elements of the job are, they are psychologically
yes.
difficult to deal with.
Yes.
Because
so,
mm-hmm. nurses, I know some nurses, they treat their patients as they bond
family,
with them.
As family.
And they
as
go
family.
Home tonight and mm-hmm. they come back tomorrow, the patient isn't
yeah.
there. And
mm-hmm.
it to the
so
point.
So it was, COVID was just as traumatic
mm-hmm.
to nursing personnel. You know, as you said, having to deal with deaths every single day. Sometimes, as you said, you build a bond with a patient, and then you go home and you come back.
And they're gone.
And they're gone. So nurses went through traumatic loss as well, and they had to do it every day. So you would have had some nurses who would have succumbed to mental stress, you know, mental breakdowns. They sought treatment. The RHAs were very supportive all throughout COVID. They would have had, you know, dealing with stress, different things. They really tried to address healthcare workers mentally.
Let's take it on a broader perspective. Are we treating our nurses the way they needed to be? They need to be treated in terms of their remuneration. What's happening with the latest bargaining period? And we have to ask the question.
Oh yeah. So of course they could always do better. I always believe that because nursing is a predominantly female profession, it's why sometimes we do not get our voices as heard as it should be. One of the things you all brought up earlier on has to do with our entry level. We are all not entering on the same level. So you have nurses who came in with a diploma, nurses with an associate degree, nurses with a bachelor science degree. So because all of them have that, you can't go now to ask for bachelor science degree salary. All right? And this is why we were so thankful when this week we heard the Ministry of Education say that they are no longer going to be having the diploma program, because that now means that all nursing in Trinidad and Tobago will be taught at the Bachelor of Science level. Concerning remuneration, it's a myth that we have to go to the CPO. When the RHAs came into being, it was stated in the law that negotiations occur with the CEO. All right. One of our issues is the RRCB board. TTRNA has been requesting and providing all documents to get recognized majority union status for over 7 years now. And that is something that may end up going before the courts, because for the last 7 years, we have met obstacle after obstacle to prevent TTRNA from becoming the recognized majority union for nursing personnel. And that is something that we are fighting, because without that, we really cannot go to the CEO to negotiate for nurses. We have the numbers. We have the numbers. At first, they told us it was 50% plus one. When we got 50% plus one of all the nursing personnel, they told us it was 50% plus one of each category.
The goalpost keeps moving.
Yes, and then it was 50% and one of each category in each RHA. And this is how it has been moving. But we have been working assiduously to ensure that we get those numbers. We would have met just yesterday with the RRCB board, new members of the board, and brought our case to them to let them know that we are here fighting for nurses. We want to be the only voice for nursing personnel in Trinidad and Tobago, and we believe that our voices were heard yesterday, and things should progress soon. So we are looking forward to that, because it's been 7 long years. 7 years we've been trying to become the recognized majority union for nurses, but I think it's right over the horizon.
Well, I can tell you that there's a lot to be achieved with this unified voice. But as you say, you know, there are your challenges that you seem to have been grappling with, the changing goalposts all the time, which are, that's unfortunate, because you would expect that someone somewhere somehow would see the value on the behalf of the nurses of having this collective voice. But it is what it is, and it's a challenge that you all have to overcome. International Nurses Day carries with it this, as with any other day, that it's important. It's about highlighting the benefits, the pros, the cons, the issues, and all of those things. What are some of the things that are done in recognition of International Nurses Day here at home?
Okay, so the Trinidad and Tobago Registered Nurses Association, we celebrate Nurses Day in a big way. We start off on the Sunday. So last Sunday, we would have had a luncheon and church service at Cruz Inn. It was a paid event. However, we would have had over 200 nursing personnel across the sector, retired nurses, student nurses, and nurses still in service. The ICN theme for this year is Our Nurses, Our Future. And we were able to show where we are representing and we are relevant to nurses from the past, the present, and the future.
Mm.
So we are there. We have all the RHAs have been having activities throughout this week. Presently, I know that North Central Regional Health Authority has an award ceremony going on at present.
Mm.
Eastern Regional Health Authority has a Nurses Appreciation Day going on at Mayaro. Tobago, I think, have an interfaith service going on as we speak. And South, I'm not sure what South is doing today, but I do know tomorrow that they have a walk up San Fernando Hill with all the nursing personnel, followed by, you know, fun activities and so forth. So during this entire week, we would have had different events honoring, highlighting, and paying homage to nursing personnel. And I just want to say thanks as well to the business community,
mm-hmm.
who would have joined in and partnered with us, not only via sponsorship, but like Hyatt Regency, they have offered a 25% discount at their restaurant to nurses this entire week from the 7th to the 13th. I saw the St. Augustine Surgical Center. They are offering free consultations for nurses. Linda's, they have a special with a full cake and cupcakes for $150. Right. And other business communities are joining on to celebrate nurses. And we just want to take this opportunity to tell them thank you and we appreciate it.
As we wrap up our interview here this morning, International Nurses Day, there are many who may be listening to us who may themselves be considering, should I enter this field?
Mm-hmm.
Some people may have children, grandchildren, because we have a varied listenership. Is that something they should consider?
Of course, of course. So we normally conduct career fairs. You know, this is the season where students are choosing their subjects going from Form 3. So they'll be going into Form 4 or 5. They choose their subjects as to what they want to do. We have been invited to many career fairs. And we are there showing them that nursing is a viable option. Nursing can... There's always a need for a nurse. I think right now the ICN says that by 2025, there will be a need for 9 million nurses, right? Nursing is a job that's international, whether here, Trinidad, or abroad. And there are many, many varied aspects to nursing. I myself would have worked offshore for 3 years as a nurse working with divers. They have travel nurses. Nurses who fly from on the planes, so if something is wrong, you'd always have to ask if there's a doctor present. You may have nurses. We have nurses in the army. You have nurses in prisons. We have, right in Trinidad, police and prisons and the army and Coast Guard have registered nurses. Plus, we have different specialties. You have midwifery, you have psychiatry, you have urology, hemodialysis, and the list goes on and on. So it's not that it's just at the bedside, because we also have educators, right? Because somebody have to teach persons to become a nurse.
Mm-hmm.
You have administrators, you have managers. So whatever you wanted to do in life, you can do it as a nurse. I'm a nurse manager, right? And as I said, you have nurse educators, clinical instructors. The list goes on and on.
And then there's always the opportunity to get into the private sector.
Of course. There's nowhere you could go and your nursing degree would not be considered.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of the easiest passports or the gateway to the world. Nursing is the way to go.
What's our shortfall when it comes to how many nurses we need?
Our shortfall is that we have a very sick population in Trinidad and Tobago. And we have not focused on primary care, preventative care, but we deal with sick care, as my president likes to say. So we like to build hospitals to put sick people in. But when you build hospitals, you have to staff it.
Mm-hmm.
And again, because nurses are so valued and so treasured worldwide, you find that just as we train them, It's not the same set as a strain that leave immediately, but those who might have been there 5 years, 6 years, 10 years. So the more experienced nurses, they are the ones who are leaving, going on to greener pastures. And the reason is that, of course, one of the reasons, remuneration, housing, you know, police, the national security, those persons, they get housing. They don't consider housing for nurses, you know, and nurses are somewhere within that balance where we're just a little over the poor, but we definitely under the rich.
Mm-hmm.
And there is nothing for us in between. So there are so many different options available for lower income persons, and then persons with higher income can afford to purchase and go on their own. But nurses are caught in that middle strata right there,
mm-hmm.
where we can't access the loans. We have so much temporary employment. The RHAs are not hiring persons on a permanent basis. So you can't go to the bank and request a loan because you have a temporary continuous contract, right?
Specifically, to answer your question, we actually have 3,709 nurses short within our healthcare system.
Mm.
And this is not taken into account the new hospitals that are yet to come on stream, like the Arima Hospital, which has recently opened, but the majority of the wings are unoccupied. The Point 14 Hospital, 50% is unoccupied because you just don't have the staffing. You still have Coover Medical Facility, which I understand is closing shortly, because it was the main focal point for COVID-19, and they need to get back their nurses, the different RHAs. You have Roxboro not operating to maximum. You have Sandy Grandy still being built as we speak. So even with those facilities not yet fully operational, today as we speak, we have 3,709 nurses short. So you could only imagine the strain on the nurse, which leads to, unfortunately, those nurses who are burnt out and stressed out, not being able to deliver the quality care that they ought to, and then also not being in a frame of mind to interact with a grieving relative appropriately to ease their burden, and may unfortunately infuriate that family member even more. Yeah, so we have a real uphill task ahead of us.
When you give the figure of 3,700 as a shortage, that's a significant amount. What are our recruitment drives like at this point in time? Let's just say I'm speaking hypothetically here, that we want to clear out this 3,700 at least. Is that even possible? When we recruit, how many do we recruit? Do we have the ability to recruit all of these nurses?
Well, let me speak on that specifically, because it's quite ironic. We actually have had a shortage. Say 10 years ago, there was the Ministry of Health did a manpower audit, and they identified some 2,000 plus nurses we were short by. That's 10 years ago. 10 years forward, now we are 3,709 nurses short. So you see, we are going in the complete opposite direction where we should be going. One, because our population is getting sicker and sicker. Two, we are building more and more facilities, so you require more and more staff. Three, we are doing nothing to retain the nursing personnel that we have trained. So before, the developed countries would have waited until a nurse, the minimum would have been 5 years, 3 years of experience after you pass out of nursing school. You need to get 3 to 5 years experience in your field before they accept you abroad. Now they're taking you from day one because they are so short. In fact, following this pandemic, we were just on a webinar with the European Commission and WHO. They had a session and they identified 4 out of every 10 nurses have indicated their readiness to leave the profession in the European Union. So what that means, they're going to be calling more on developing countries to fill their void. And all developed countries, even Caribbean, they are taking specific steps, specific measurable steps to retain their nursing personnel. Unfortunately, in Trinidad and Tobago, we are not even seeing it as a problem at the policymakers' level. despite our overtures. It has actually come back to us that, hey, nurses could leave, they have always left, we will just train more. Not realizing we are creating a crisis on our hands that is worse than the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yeah. As we end our interview here this morning, because we went a little longer than we were supposed to, but it's just such an interesting discussion. And everyone is going to have to come in touch with a nurse at some point in time.
Mm-hmm.
At some point, you
from
will
to death.
You will have to deal with that. Our nurse will have to deal with you, let me put it that way. As we observe and join the international community in observing International Nurses Day, Mr. Stewart, what's some advice to nurses as they mark this day? What are some of the things they should be considering on this day?
Well, you know, you asked a very important question. Would we recommend persons coming into this profession? And I would like to really answer that, because one, we recommend persons coming into this profession. First, you must really love being a nurse. You must be very caring and compassionate. Without those qualities, this profession will be a terrible burden to you, and you will regret it every day if you are not of that mindset. And it's definitely an opportunity for persons to see the world, because everywhere, as my colleague indicated, needs nursing personnel right now. So the world is your oyster. So we really want to celebrate the profession that is nursing as we speak. We want to celebrate the profession that is midwifery as we speak. But more so, we want to celebrate those persons, those nursing personnel in Trinidad and Tobago, who have taken the Herculean task to conduct your affairs in a professional manner for the benefit of our citizens. We really want to acknowledge you and hope that you are rewarded appropriately.
I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning, and it's been an insightful discussion. We were here just to speak about International Nurses Day, but when you have a profession, which is what this is, that touches so many people's lives and is so important to people's well-being, you must delve into some of the nitty-gritty that confronts the profession, of the things that they have to deal with. And I think we've done a good job of that. So I want to thank both of you for being with us here this morning. And I wish you all the best on your day today.
Thank you.
And I hope that in the not-too-distant future, we can have further conversations.
Sure.
And not just because sometimes people have conversations adversarially. I mean, you're here to argue with nobody. We need to find out what's going on. What's the truth? What are some of the issues we need to confront? Because as I said, sickness is for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point in time in your life, you have to deal with the medical profession. Thank both of you again for being here this morning. It was my pleasure having you as our guests.
And it was my pleasure being here. Thank you.
And this is
thanks for having us.
As always.
Talk is streaming at freedom106.5.com.